Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Parak Hei, Chapter 5. In the last parak, Parak Dalid, we saw Yechezkel do two symbolic actions, two ma'asim simliim. In one, he built a model of Yerushalayim and played out the siege against it, and in the other, he baked bread over dung to symbolize what it looks like to live through a siege. In this parak, Yechezkel does another ma'aseh simli, another symbolic action, which is perhaps the most disturbing and the harshest of the three. In this ma'aseh simli, Yechezkel is told to shave his hair and his beard, and then gather together all the hair and divide it into three parts. Pasuk bet, verse 2, Shishit ba'or tav'ir betoch ha'ir kemal'ot yimei ha'matzor v'lakachta et ha'shlishit And now this pasuk describes what Yechezkel is going to do with those three parts of hair. So the pasuk says, a third of it you shall burn in the fire in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. So meaning he was lying in siege against Yerushalayim for 390 and then 40 days. And when that's finished, you should take this hair and bring it and burn it in the middle of the city. And the second third part, you should strike with the sword. And the third of part of hair, you should scatter to the wind. And then I, v'cherev arika chareyam, I will draw out the sword after that hair. These three sections of hair are going to symbolize what's going to happen to people in the Chorban. One third are going to be burned. One third are going to be killed, and then one third are going to be scattered to the wind, meaning they will be exiled. Yechezkel is also told to take some of the hair, and then in Pasuk Gimel, v'lakachta misham ma'at b'mispara v'tzarta otam b'knafecha. You should take some of this hair, a small part, and you should tzarta otam b'knafecha. You're going to cover it the knafecha. So knafecha can mean wings, but here it seems to mean the corners of Yechezkel's cloak. And this symbolizes the people who are going to survive. The language of dividing the hair between the fire, the sword, and the wind is extremely evocative and harsh. Yechezkel is made to do something, again, that is forbidden for Kohanim to do. As it says in Vayikra, chapter 19, verse 5, V'lo Yekarchu karcha barosham, upeatzakanam lo yigalechu, ubibsaram lo yishartu sreitat. They should not make a bald spot on their head. They should not shave off the corners of their beard or make any cuttings in their flesh. And now, for a second time, we see Yechezkel forced to profane his own status as a Kohen, and this time in a more direct way than even eating bread cooked over human excrement. The Rambam is so bothered by this direction to Yechezkel that the Rambam says that Yechezkel didn't actually do this, that this whole thing is something that he saw inside of a nevuah, but didn't actually do, meaning he did it within a prophetic vision, but not actually in person. While the Abarbanel quotes this Rambam in his interpretation of the Perek, no other Meforish brings up this possibility, leading to the conclusion that maybe they thought Yechezkel actually did perform this act. We spoke last Perek about this tension that exists between the Yechezkel's part of himself that's a Kohen and his part of himself that's a Navi, and how those, at least in this case, are coming into conflict with each other. This third ma'aseh simli really brings to life the horror of the Chorban, of the destruction. The first ma'aseh simli started from outside the city, the frightening reality of the siege against Yerushalayim. The second ma'aseh simli brought us into visceral contact with the experience of the people during the siege, as food became more and more insecure. And now this third ma'aseh simli acts out the end, the final destruction, as the walls are breached and broken and the people are destroyed. Each section of hair represents what will happen to different groups of people from Yerushalayim, as is explained later in the parak. In Pasuk Yudbet, Shlishtech badever yamutu, uberav yikalu betochech, Vashlishit Bacharv Yipolu Svivotach, Vashlishit Lachol Ruach Azara Vacharv Arika Charehem. As we explained before, the Pasuk says straight out, a third of the people will die with Dever, with disease and famine. A third of the people will die by a sword, and a third of the people will scatter to the winds in Galut, but then also a sword will chase after them, and it will be a terrible Galut, one that will end up with their death. And the form of these three masim simliim, these three symbolic action, form what's known as a hadraga, or a progression. They are progressing in time from the beginning of the siege to the food insecurity to famine and to death. And they're also progressing in space from outside of the city to inside of the city to the people themselves. And they're also progressing in terms of severity, sadness, and pain. They're also a progression in the defilement of the Kohen. Yechezkel himself is part of the symbolic action as a Kohen who represents the Beit HaMikdash. It goes from him being uncomfortable lying there during the siege and also not being able to perform his duty as a Kohen, which is to bring together Hashem and Bnei Israel, but forced to stay inside his house, not go out to them, only they can come and watch him. But at that time he was doing something that's allowed, to being forced to eat food that's cooked in a defiled way, and then to being forced to shave his hair, something that's blatantly not allowed. In this sense, you see Yechezkel as almost a real physical manifestation of his nevuah and of what's happening, both in the world of Hashem and what's happening to Bnei Israel. The hadraga, the progression of the symbolic actions and the performance that Yechezkel undertakes, heightens the tension. The Chorban is coming. This is what it will look like. This is what it will feel like. This will be the horrible conclusion. And that really is the purpose of a Maaseh Simli, to bring to the reader this vision of what the Nevuah means, and to allow the person who's watching not just to hear the Nevuah, but to see the Nevuah. The culmination of this very difficult symbolic action comes in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. V'kala api, and that then my anger shall end. V'hanichoti chamati bam, and my wrath will come to rest. V'hinachamti, and I will rest, I will be comforted. V'yedu ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am Hashem. Dibarti v'kenati v'kaloti chamoti bam. I have spoken with my kana'ut. Kana'ut means zeal, or Hashem's expression of justice. And Hashem says, they will know me when I've accomplished my wrath on them. There is a sense in this pasuk that Hashem has been holding in his anger, giving them chance after chance to do teshuvah, to change their society, to stop rejecting him, to stop worshiping other gods. In fact, it is this point that Yirmiyahu continuously complained to Hashem about in Sefer Yirmiyahu. How can Hashem continue to not punish the Jews when the Jews break all his rules and break their commitments to Hashem? Yirmiyahu actually rails against Hashem, that Yirmiyahu, is not trusted as a Navi because Hashem never keeps his word. He's too slow to anger. The people don't believe that the punishment will ever come. Here, Hashem tells Yechezkel that the time of letting out his anger, the time of being erech apayim, of slow to anger, of giving chances, is almost over. A time is coming soon that Hashem will let out a different quality of his, and that is kana'ut, or punishment, midah keneged midah, measure for measure. It will be this zealous side of Hashem in which the people will get what they deserve. Their sins will finally be answered. There will finally be retribution for their actions. In this way, Yechezkel is the opposite of his contemporary Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is always giving people chances, even up to the minute before the Chorban. Yechezkel is the opposite. He is the expression of Hashem's zealousness and keeping his word. It comes across as punishment in not giving chances, but it's really an expression of not giving chances anymore. And there has been so many chances in the past. This idea of a deserved retribution leads up to one of the most important phrases that comes up in Pasuk 13, a phrase that comes up 4 times in this parak and 73 times in Sefer Yechezkel, and that is V'yedu ki ani Hashem. They should know that I am Hashem. This phrase is almost like the leitmotif, the mila mancha of the book. The point of Yechezkel as a prophet is not to change the people. The point is to show that in a sad way, Hashem's word is trustworthy. If the people do change, that's wonderful. But that's not Yechezkel's job. His job is for them to know that Hashem keeps his word. Imagine if a parent told a child, if you come home after 11, you're grounded. You can't go out with your friends tomorrow. Lo and behold, the child does it. But then, you know, there's a really big thing happening the next night. So the parents relent. Fine, you can go out tomorrow night, but don't come back after 11. The child does it again. They come back late. Now it's twice. But the parent feels bad, really hates punishing the child. So it gives the child one more chance. And the child still comes back late. After about, you know, 10, 20 times, the child learns not that the parent is merciful, but that the parent will probably never punish them. And that's the point. Sefer Yechezkel, at least in the beginning, Prakim. V'yedu ki ani Hashem dibarti b'kenati b'kaloti chamati bam. They will know that I am Hashem when I show this other side of me, when I show my zealousness, when I actually punish. It's a phrase that shows that while Hashem gives many chances, ultimately he also keeps his promises. Yechezkel is not the book of giving chances. That's his contemporary Yirmiyahu's job. It's a parallel book. And he, Yirmiyahu, is working in Israel, where the Beit HaMikdash is. Yechezkel has to explain why the punishment is here, and therefore, because Yechezkel told them that, after the punishment, they can build, they can rebuild from that understanding, with an understanding that it was deserved. And this is related to an earlier phrase, V'yedu ki Navi haya b'tocham. That's what Hashem told Yechezkel in his introduction. They need to know that there was a prophet amongst them. But where was this original warning? How were Bnei Yisrael supposed to be held accountable for their sins if they were never told? So, of course, all the Nevi'im warned them, and there are even numerous places in Chumash that they were warned against all these things that they did. But there's actually one specific place in Chumash where Jews are warned specifically not to stray from Hashem and told the punishments if they do. This perek comes in Vayikra, chapter 26, perek Kavav, in the beginning of Parshat B'chukotai, the perek of the curses. If you look closely at this perek, Yechezkel perek Hei, there are so many, many references to this perek, chapter 26, references to this original brit, this original covenant of B'chukotai that was reiterated to them again before they went into Israel, and then again on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, the two mountains where Moshe told them they would get blessed and cursed. I'll just give you a few references, and there really are many. So number one is in Pasuk 2, 12 and 17, you have the phrase, V'cherev arik acharem, a sword, I'll draw the sword against them. This comes straight from Vayikra 26. V'heveti aleichem cherev, I'm going to bring a sword against you in 26:25, no kemet, no kein brit, a sword that is going to have retribution for breaking the covenant. And then in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, in Vayikra, ve'etchem azara b'goyim v'harikoti achareyem cherev. And that same language of I'll draw a sword after you. Please feel free to open up these two books, Vayikra 26 and Yechezkel 5. You'll see there's so many instances. Here's another one. Pasuk Tet Zayin. As Yechezkel says, "V'shivarti lechem mate lechem," I'll increase the famine. I will break your staff of bread, meaning you won't have bread. And in pasuk in parakav in Vayikra kavav pasuk kavav verse 26, it says, "V'shivri lechem mate lechem," when I break your staff of bread. Also, a very unusual type of phrase. And it goes on and on. There were so many. Those are just two instances. But this idea, and this actually comes up in Yechezkel, that Lachin avot yochlu banim v'tocheich u'banim yochlu avotam, describing the famine, this terrible pasuk that says that parents will eat, consume their children within Yerushalayim, and children will consume their parents, meaning the dead bodies. And this is also told to them explicitly in Parshat B'chukotai in Pasuk Kaf Tet, verse 29, that if you do this, if you leave Hashem, v'achaltem b'sar b'nechem u'b'sar b'notechem tochelu, you're going to end up eating the flesh of your children. Parshat B'chukotai laid out the agreement between Hashem and Bnei Israel. If you follow my covenant, you will have abundance, peace, protection, and a close relationship with Hashem. But if you don't, here are the consequences. They are explicit, they are direct, and they are the word of God. Bnei Israel did not hold up their side of the bargain. They broke their breed. They didn't follow Hashem. They did all the things that Hashem told them not to do. Yirmiyahu in Israel at this time is telling them, you have another chance. Quickly, make sure you change. Yechezkel in Babel has a different job. And he says, when the punishment knows, you'll know it was from Hashem. You will know you deserved it. You know that at the end, Hashem keeps his word. V'yed'u ki ani Hashem. Only from that understanding of a deserved retribution will the people be able to make any type of sense of their tragedy and afterwards be able to rebuild. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.